news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Because he just can't control himself, Donald Trump sent out a tweet at 10:06 p.m. Monday night saying, quote, "In light of the attack from the invisible enemy, as well as the need to protect the jobs of our great American citizens, I will be signing an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration into the United States." So Trump hasn't been forthcoming yet on any details, and the White House didn't immediately elaborate. Many noted that immigration to the U.S. has already largely been cut off amid the pandemic. So there are legitimate questions about what this might entail. In unprecedented news, the price for U.S. oil futures dropped to its lowest level ever by far on Monday, bottoming out at -$37.63 per barrel. That means that owners of the futures contracts paid $37.63 per barrel to get someone else to take the oil. The previous record low was around $10 a barrel, set in 1986. The price for a barrel at the start of the year was around $60. Analysts say that the real problem is the fact that 20% of global oil demand is gone, mainly due to the COVID-related lockdowns. Tuesday marks the final trading day of crude oil futures contracts for delivery in May, and there's just no capacity to store the physical oil. Several U.S. states, including Georgia, Tennessee, and South Carolina, are getting ready to open back up despite warnings from medical experts. In Georgia, the decision was met with disbelief from some mayors, who mentioned that the state's death toll and case rate have not seen a drop. Such a benchmark is one of the indicators laid out in the Trump administration's guidelines for reopening local economies. The country's top infectious disease doctor, Anthony Fauci, warned that easing restrictions too soon not only endangers lives, it could put a serious squeeze on demand for medical supplies, which are already in critically short supply. Meanwhile, the COVID-19 coronavirus is continuing to spread in much of the nation, and many governors are saying they simply don't have enough testing ability to safely start reopening their economies. But Donald Trump, at Monday's two-hour commandeered television infomercial, continued lying about it, repeating that the country was in, quote, very good shape with regards to testing. When Yamiche Alcindor of the PBS NewsHour asked about the outcry about lack of access to testing and why Trump considers any criticism of it a personal attack, Trump again played the blame game.
Are you concerned that downplaying the virus maybe got some people sick?
And a lot of people love Trump, right? A lot of people love me. You see him all the time, right? I guess I'm here for a reason, you know? To the best of my knowledge, I won. And I think we're going to win again. I think we're going to win in a landslide. Not everybody believes we should do so much testing. You don't need so much. We're talking about maximum. The reason that the Democrats and some others, maybe because they don't know, they want maximum because they want to be able to criticize. So I don't view it as personal at all. What I do say is, it's something that's not fair to thousands of people that have done such a good job.
The World Health Organization Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus said Monday that, quote, the worst is yet ahead of us, obviously regarding the coronavirus pandemic. The outbreak has already killed more than 170,000 people and infected over 2.5 million worldwide. Some countries have reported a drop in new cases, but public health experts warn that the virus could explode in less developed countries with limited health care facilities. Dr. Anthony Fauci responded to protesters calling the lockdowns tyranny by warning that reopening the U.S. too quickly could result in a burst of new infections, saying, quote, unless we get the virus under control, the real recovery economically is not going to happen. New reports expose Trump's growing frustration with Fauci's numerous interviews in which he contradicts or corrects the president. We say, please keep it up. An AP investigation has found that the Payroll Protection Program relief fund that Congress created to help small businesses survive the pandemic has helped companies with thousands of employees pass penalties from government investigations and risks of financial failure even before the economy shut down. The AP found 75 companies that collectively received $300 million were publicly traded, and some had market values well over $100 million. And while Congress is nearing a deal to add another $310 billion in funding to the program, many are warning that these new funds would likely only last for 2 to 3 more days before it too runs out. Banking industry representatives say the program needs closer to $1 trillion to meet demand, with hundreds of thousands of applications still pending. This Phase 3.5 coronavirus bill includes some other provisions aside from the $310 billion in small business loans. There's $60 billion for economic disaster loans, $75 billion for hospitals, and $25 billion for testing. The total package would be valued at over $470 billion. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on Monday said there is a deal and details are being finalized. The Senate could pass it Tuesday afternoon during its pro forma session at 4 p.m. via unanimous consent with only a skeleton crew in attendance. The bigger issue appears to be in the House, a much larger body, where there is a disagreement among members about traveling back to D.C. for a vote. There is a debate going on amongst House members about the idea of proxy voting, in which absent lawmakers would have another member who is present cast a ballot on their behalf. But such a plan would require the House to vote to change the rules. Nancy Pelosi has said that any rules change must be bipartisan. No action is expected in the House until Thursday at the earliest. The Supreme Court on Monday ruled that only unanimous juries can convict defendants in criminal trials. The Supreme Court decision overturned the 2016 conviction of a Louisiana man for killing a woman in New Orleans. Hundreds of inmates found guilty by split juries could now get new trials. Oh, and Colorado Governor Jared Polis abolished the death penalty. Also, he commuted the sentences of the only 3 men on Colorado's death row. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Just click on that donate button.